Ladies and gentlemen, a warm welcome this early morning on this year's Analyst and Investors Conference call on our fiscal year results 2023, in which we again, I think for the 10th consecutive year, bet our guidance again. Ladies and gentlemen, before I go to the details of the figures, please, I would like to hand over to my colleague Marius Guo on my right-hand side, who will guide you through our acquisitions of 2023.
Thank you, Christoph. Good morning also from my side. Yes, this year has been a very successful year on the acquisition side. We initially had set a target for the year of to buy capacities for a total amount of production of 750 gigawatt hour. We managed to exceed this goal by 33%, buying a total of 548 megawatt of projects with a total output or expected output of 1 terawatt hour. It's a good split of wind and PV in our view. It's a very good split between ready-to-build projects and operational projects. So we are more than happy with what we have been able to achieve. Very small portion of it, but also an exciting project is the battery, the first battery project that we have acquired this year that will be operational by the end of the next year. In looking at the portfolio, we recorded an amount in production of 7%. This is mainly due to the full year effect of our wind park in Lithuania. Park has been acquired in November 2022 and didn't really contribute in 2022 on the total output. This, of course, changed. Besides that, the PV production was stable and will grow next year, given the project that will be connected over the year, but we will talk about that later.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if we then look into this energy production of +7%, which is +221 gigawatt hours, then we have to admit that in the existing portfolio, there's a slightly different view. In the existing portfolio, that means these parks, which we already owned last year, the previous year, 2022, and in 2023, we see that we had a power production which is 60 gigawatt below the previous year. And that is -2%. These -2% can be split into two components. One half approximately of that is just weather-related. So in 2023, weather was not as good as 2023. Sorry, both were pretty much on standard, but 2023 was slightly worse. The other half of that deviation are technically reasoned lower production. And that was either curtailments due to a congestion in the grid, or there was some flawed products, and so some guarantee cases of the module of turbine manufacturers or blade manufacturers, or we had an insurance case or something was broken, the insurance company had to pay for. These technically reasoned shortfalls of the power production are usually approximately two-thirds of them compensated by one of these named sources, either the grid operator, insurance companies, or component manufacturer. That is important if we talk about the further questions, because the shortfall of the energy production is reflected in reduced revenues as well. So we see the revenues decreased by 3% from 463 million euros net revenues to 449.1 million euros revenues in 2023. Here we see, first of all, a big price effect. So the shortfall of this power production is mostly price related, but to some extent volume related as well. Small power portion is half of the portion of the lower volume production is weather, as I pointed out, and the other one, technical reasons, but they are compensated on other income on the way down to the EBITDA. Still, the shortfall in revenues of 12.6 million is accompanied by a shortfall in EBITDA of 31 million euros. Why is it in EBITDA harder if there is some compensation for the technical shortfall? The reason for that is that within the revenues, the price-wise shortfall, as we will see on the next slide, is somewhat compensated by more revenues in our service segments, which have lower EBITDA margin and therefore do not contribute to the same extent to the EBITDA line as they did to the revenues line. But since in 2022, we had more extraordinary depreciation due to the sharp increase of interest rates, now in 2023, we did not have these extraordinary depreciation, and therefore the shortfall in the EBITDA of 31 million boils down to a shortfall in EBIT of only 4 million euros. And since this is accompanied by slightly lower interest expenses and lower tax payments, this is fully compensated in the earnings per share, which will reach exactly the €0.60. So here you see again the resilience of our business model, that we have some compensational effects. Even if there is a shortfall somewhere in the top line, it is usually fully compensated down to the EPS, to the bottom line. Ladies and gentlemen, here we have in a graph shown the different steps. Firstly, we have the 463 million euros of net revenues, minus 72 million, which is mostly price-related shortfall of revenues, but to a minor extent, technical shortfall. Then we have an increase of the revenues of asset management and the third-party revenue Stern business with lower margins, and then the new acquisitions, which then leads to the 449.1 million euros of net revenues in 2023. If we then compare the different figures with our guidance, then you can see that we fulfilled all figures which were guided in 2023 and exceeded revenues, EBITDA, and EBIT, and exactly reached the EPS. But there's one shortfall, and these are the operating cash flows. In the operating cash flow, there is some deviation against 2023 guidance in our actual figures, because there is some impact delayed by delayed tax repayments and some delayed, and now we come back to the technical deficiencies that we have compensational payments from guarantors, insurance companies, and grid operators, which are somewhat delayed. They are already including the EBITDA, but unfortunately not paid yet. So within the shortfall of our operating cash flow, there is only 10 million real deviation from the guidance, which was not correctly guessed tax payments for the year 2022 and 2023, but the other components are all delayed to 2024 or shown in other baskets. And this is shown here. So the tax delay, whether the wrong tax assumption for 2022, are 12 million euros. Then we had a disposal of parks, of two parks, which ran out of their feed-in tariffs to the former developer, which was done last year. That was strategically reasonable. We sold them down, but that cash was not shown in the operating cash flow, but in the investment cash flow. So the cash is there, but it is shown in a different basket. And the remaining part of €20 million are the different types of advanced tax payments 2023, capital gains tax, and sales tax receivables, which we all expect in 2024. Some of them, specifically the sales tax receivables, are already in within Q1. And we have some receivables from compensational payments, which are the guarantors and component manufacturers. If we have a look then at the segmentation report, then we see a decline in the revenues of solar farms, of wind farms, and an increase in the revenues of PV services and asset management. This goes in line with our forecast of our accelerated growth 2027, where we forecasted an increase in the portion of the revenues of our service entities. Here we see that the solar farms, now we their portion within the revenues from 67%-64%, and the wind farms from 26%-22%, while PV service and asset management increased their importance from in total 8%-18% significantly. But the margins within our solar and wind farm business are very stable and certainly above the 75%, which you already had in the past. If we have a look now into the PV segment, then we see that the revenues are reduced to lower power prices by in total approximately 10 million euros, and we have a lower production here of approximately 22 million euros revenue effect. It is that the strongest price reduction, which we have seen in the last year, and the biggest impact we had on our P&L in PV was the Netherlands, Spain, and Germany. As you might recall, we have a very high portion of price fixed mechanism, but in 2022, we enjoyed in this floor price system of the feed-in tariffs in the Netherlands and Germany, power prices which were fairly exceeding the feed-in tariffs, and therefore we enjoyed higher revenues, but couldn't repeat that in that extent in 2023. In the wind business, we have almost the same issue, but here mostly in wind in Germany, because we don't have wind farms in the Netherlands. Here the same feed-in tariff with the floor price mechanism is existing. So here we have a revenues decline in the existing portfolio from much lower power prices of 30 million euros, and that couldn't be compensated by our new park in Lithuania or by the curtailment compensation we had. Here we have a positive contribution from the disposal of Boreas parks. In our PV segment, we see the strongest growth of in total 12.7 to 55 million euros, so an uplift of 43 million euros. The reason for that, 42 million, yes. The reason for that is that we fully have now reflected the Stern acquisition in our 12-month figures, and at the same time, Stern was growing rapidly. But that strong growth comes along with other expenses, with material expenses and personal expenses. And in total, they realized an 11% EBITDA margin. That EBITDA margin might be reasoned by that strong growth. On the other side, by a new Italian accounting rule, which doesn't allow to go for a percentage of completion method. And therefore, the translation to IFRS did not happened perfectly, so we see that there is some small potential for further profit here, but we will have certainly an eye on the EBITDA margin of that growing business in future. In the asset management business, we have enjoyed in these difficult times for such asset management business in this higher interest rate environment by the disposal of participation of one of our customers in last year. And here we had a one-off profit of 5 million euros of service fees from that disposal. But since there came along some depreciation of some asset along with that, this was eliminated in the EBIT. So here we have a more flattish development. In the headquarters, we have an improvement of the cost from 13.4 million to now 9.4 million, but that is not due to a shrinking number of employees. No, we are growing here according to our growth of our business. We had one-off payments in 2022, specifically the severance package for my former colleague Dirk Pascard in 2022, which certainly was not repeated now. If we have a look into the balance sheet, we have, with our growth of our business, a steady growth of our balance sheet total. You might recall that last year our equity ratio suffered somewhat compared to 2021 due to the high power prices in the market, because IFRS forces us to account for the negative value of negative payments to our off-takers in a high power price environment compared to the fixed PPA price. Although we know that we get the price from the money from the market at the same time when we pay it to our off-taker, that created a huge negative effect in our equity in 2022 and reduced our equity ratio artificially. With the decrease of power prices to a broader extent, now these negative values of these PPAs, which are accounted for in our equity, are reduced, and therefore we enjoy a sufficient increase of our equity ratio up to 33% now. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we like to have a look on the guidance. Well, as every year, the guidance is based on standard weather. We have unchanged interest rate levels as we see them today, and we utilize the power price curve as of the valuation date of March 10th. What is new this year? There's no further revenue spinning ahead, so this is a nightmare which we can forget. Unfortunately, compared, or fortunately for the business, for the overall business and economy, but for us it is quite challenging to see that after a huge decline of power prices from 2022 to 2023, in the extent between 70 or 74% in Netherlands Dutch PV or Swedish PV, or down to 52% in Spain PV, we now see further declines from these much lower levels by between 24% to minus 42%. Only in Finland and wind, a slight positive price development again. Based on these much lower power prices, we forecast revenues, and now again, net and gross revenues are the same. So net revenues on compared to previous year's net revenues of 460 million on the same level. So we believe that we will have with these power prices, although they are much lower than the past, the same revenues which we can realize, but the reason for that is the growth of our capacities. We will connect approximately 299 megawatt of parks to the grid. Only few of them will contribute for the full year. Some of them will be connected in the midst of and a major part at the end of next year, of this year. So it will contribute only somewhat, but fully compensate that shortfall of power prices. But as we pointed out, we will have an increase again of our service business, which do not come along with such high EBITDA margins. And these additional revenue contributions from these new capacities come along with additional costs. So having a more than 75% EBITDA margin. So still, they do not contribute to the same extent to the EBITDA as they do to the revenues. Therefore, although we will reach the same revenue level as in 2023, we will have slightly lower EBITDA in 2024. The same applies to the EBIT, because in both cases, no extraordinary depreciation, but the operating cash flow will recover. We had some delays from 2023 to 2024, and therefore we will have an increase in the cash flow per share. Ladies and gentlemen, with that, well, Encavis remains on its solid midterm growth path due to its our accelerated growth strategy 2027, and despite this uncertain and current market environment. But we have to consider to admit that this guidance is pretty conservative, not because we are conservative, but because all potential additions of higher power prices are not there anymore. Power prices are so low that we have only a very, very small open market position in this guidance of approximately 20 million euros. So therefore, this only can disappear if power prices in average of the year will be zero. This is very conservative. Now let's have a look into the segment. Here we see again that the net revenues of solar and wind, solar will decline slightly, wind will increase slightly, will decrease the portion of their revenue contribution in the group down to 59% in solar and 23% in wind. And again, we see a slight increase of the portion of the revenue contribution of the services by 3 percentage points. The operating margins of solar and wind farms continue to be above 75%, stable in PV services and slightly declining in asset management, which contributed last year again from this one-off effect. Ladies and gentlemen, with our growth strategy and even with our accelerated ambitions, we will stick to our disciplined and selective investment criteria, which you knew from the past. And as you might recall, in the past, we had a goal to increase our capacities from currently 2.2 gigawatt, which will be approximately 3 gigawatt then at midst of 2025 with the new additions to this these parks, and wanted to grow them to 5.8 gigawatt parks being connected to the grid in 2027. With the new partnership with KKR and Viessmann, which we're intending, we will be able to unlock our future growth, and therefore I have now new ambitions for 2027 in the amount of 7 gigawatts. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your audience. Thank you very much for dialing in, and now we are available for your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may click the Q&A button on the left side of your screen and then raise your hand to ask audio questions or type a text question. If you're connected via phone, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two, or please press the lower your hand button. Anyone who has a question may click the Q&A and raise your hand button or press star followed by one at this time. The first question is from Jan Bauer. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Good morning.
Perfect. Just one follow-up question. Do you have a capacity addition target for 2024?
As you might know, last year we changed the form of capacity targets from capacities to energy production, power production. And last year we had the goal of 750 gigawatt hours, and this year we have the intention to add 1,000 gigawatt hours to our capacities. We usually use gigawatt hours instead of capacities because it depends very much whether we buy solar or wind. Wind contributes approximately twice as much power production compared to the same wind solar capacity, and it usually costs us twice as much. So therefore, I think the best thing is to go ahead with the 1,000 gigawatt hours for this year.
Okay, I agree with you. Can we expect that the additions to the portfolio will be as much back-end loaded as we've seen it in the last 2 years?
Certainly, it is not that we buy only COD parks this year. This would extremely costly, and therefore they are highly attractive in the market anyhow. It is that we will buy lots of these parks under our strategic development partnerships, so therefore they need some time to become ready to build them and to be constructed and connected to the grid. Yes, it will be back-end loaded.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any further question, please click the Q&A button on the left side of your screen or star 1 on your telephone keypad. The next question is from Charles Schäuble. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. In terms of financial guidance for 27, is that based off connected capacity of 5.8 gigawatts or is that off the new target of 7 gigawatts? Thank you.
The new ambition is 7 gigawatts.
Okay. And just in terms of the financial guidance you gave last year, in terms of EBITDA, is that based off the 7 gigawatts or is that based off the 5.8 gigawatts?
That was based on the 5.8.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you.
We have a text question from Teresa Schinwald. Could you give us an update on investment capex for wind and solar, the most recent developments? Also, did the accelerated cutting of interest rates in CE change your interest in the region? What is your current take on the more emerging markets in Europe?
First of all, on the capex, we see, I would say, quite flat development in the sense that modules are at their record low. So there has been a sort of decline in the last months, but at the same time, the HV components are costly, and the effect of modules in the total capex is not the biggest anymore. So I would say the development is quite flat, both in wind and solar. On the second one, on the interest rate, I guess if I got the question right, is how we are basically what is changing on the market. To be honest, we don't see significant changes in the moment. We have seen the appetite for investors to increase again slightly. So we see a little bit more competition on the acquisition side. Good thing we are, I think, in a very good setup with the strategic development partners where we have the agreements already in place. So basically there is no real effect on this part of the pipeline given by the interest rates. The last question, also very interesting in terms of the emerging markets. Yeah, that's as always something we closely monitor in the sense that we see that at least Eastern Europe, the appetite for power and green power also grows, like in all the other countries. At the same time, I mean, you know us, we are very conservative. We are careful investors. We look for the long-term operation of our assets. So for us, sort of the overall stability is crucial. It's not only the attractiveness of the power market, given us in a certain phase, but it's really the long-term outlook. And in this regard, I think it's very important to differentiate between different countries. Again, we felt comfortable last year to enter, let's say, the Baltics with the first acquisition in Lithuania in 2022. But it's not a sort of straightforward thing. We have to look at the different situations one by one.
The next question is from Anis Zgaya. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Do you hear me?
Yes, we do.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I have question on exposure to market prices. I think you said a total of 20 million euro in income in total. Is that the case, 20 million euro of total exposure?
Yes, it is. And the exposure in the past years was considerably higher. The reason for that is that, as you might recall, we do have in the Netherlands and Germany feed-in tariff structures, which are floor prices. We enjoy higher market prices if they are exceeding the individual feed-in tariff. And this does not happen currently. The power prices are considerably below the feed-in tariffs. And so, therefore, these 20 million are just our open market positions, which we do have for technical reasons in our PPA parks in Spain, Finland, Denmark.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For any further questions, please click the Q&A button or star one on your telephone keypad. The next question is from Martin Tessier. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. Hi, thanks for taking my question. Could you give us the share of acquisitions last year that were made from your strategic development partners and the share from acquisitions on the secondary market? And a second question, could you tell us when will you see the first expiry of historical high feed-in tariffs, especially in Germany? Should we expect the first contracts to expire in 2024 or beyond? Thank you.
Yeah. So on the first question, the split, I'm going to refer to the capacity in megawatt, not to the production. So I think this is relevant. So we acquired 292 megawatts from our development partnerships out of the 576. So it's a 51% share. We acquired 167 megawatts of, I would say, opportunistic transactions. So accounting for 29% PV, and we acquired 105 megawatt, so 18% of new wind projects, also opportunistically. As you know, we do not have strategic development partnerships in place on wind, and so this is the overall balance.
And now regarding the feed-in tariff, so the first German feed-in tariff part, which will go on out of feed-in tariff, will be in 2026, which is a 5 megawatt park in Bavaria. That obviously is not significant for the whole group. And then the first bigger portion of German parks running out of feed-in tariff will be then 2028, 2029. So it will last somewhat, but then there will be the first material parks running out of feed-in tariff.
There are no more questions at this time.
Well, if that is the case, then thank you very much for dialing in. Thank you very much for participating in this call and for your questions. And well, then we will talk, I think, at the end of May next time with the release of our quarterly figures. Thank you very much, and I wish you all a happy Easter holiday. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
In the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.